Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. Acts chapter 6. I want to look at Stephen's life, making a difference. Making a difference. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your life making a difference? You know, there have been a lot of very wealthy men that have made a ton of money. And when they died, somebody else got it. And the next generation doesn't remember much about them. Didn't make a difference. Made a lot of money, but you don't take money with you. And then there are some people that they have a lot of possessions. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff. Had a family member die about a month ago. And he... When he died, well, it's my dad's brother, twin brother, 87 years old. When he died, he got saved apparently 2 or 3 days before he died. So he lived his whole life completely in error. As a matter of fact, my parents really would not let me be around him much because his language was just so awful. I never heard him say a sentence that I remember without filthy words in it. And so when I was growing up, my parents, I remember going to California and spending time there. And I remember, now son, listen, you're going to hear a lot of this. And listen, it's not right. And he lived 87 years like that till the last 3 days. And he's, by trusting Christ as Savior in heaven today, but it didn't make a difference. And so when he died, he had four-wheelers and he had vehicles and stuff like that. And he just said, look, if anything happens to me, you can just take it. And so it was somebody there near him that got all this stuff, and his own daughter is got nothing. And they're trying to figure out what to do and you know, what should I do with is that really mine? Is it really his? And you look at it and you say, what difference did he make? I don't want you to come to the grave and not having heard how to make a difference. We have another young man here, which you notice, Stephen, that he was very mundane person. By that I mean, notice if you would, in Acts chapter 6. Read with me if you would. Notice in verse number 6, chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now, number one, that's not the right thing to do. Anytime there's something not right, you don't start murmuring. The word murmur is an onomatopoeic word that sort of describes what we murmur, so it's mumble. So we just sort of take that word and make it into what we do. It's just kind of under the breath, just, you know, it's, I don't believe they don't do this. I'll fix that. I can't believe it. We never do that. Not as God's children. Not as God's children that are right with God. When there's an issue, you go talk to the right person. And you open your heart with them. And you leave it there. Well, make a long story short. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 12. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason. So they heard the mumbling and they called everybody together and said, look, it doesn't make sense for us to stop studying God's Word and stop traveling around preaching to take care of the widows. Now notice, if you would, here was the issue. Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So the widows were not being fed properly. And they ended up not having food, or some of them were left out. So there was some misadministration. No intent. And that's what we have to realize. Most mistakes are not intentional. And how many of us have made a mistake unintentionally? Every one of us. So we all need mercy. Why don't we give it to other people? Well, you'll notice here, they started murmuring and it got bad word back to the disciples. And so they said, you know what we need? We need, notice if you would, in verse number 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. Now, I want you to notice, first off, then, what they were looking for. We'll look at that in just a minute. But notice number 4. We'll give ourselves continue to prayer in the ministry of the word in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's about what we know about Stephen personally. There's one other thing we know about him. We'll get to that in a minute. But Stephen was available. And so many people don't make themselves available to do little things for the Lord. And so they miss great blessings and privilege in making a difference. There's some people, whenever you say, well, what needs to be done? And so keep in mind here that, well, we've got some widows that are not being fed properly. That's not a big job. That's not an important role. And yet you've got a man here that's filled with God's Spirit that everybody knows and say, I know, Stephen can help us with it. Would you be willing to do a little job? Would you be willing to sit in the nursery? Would you be willing to take food over to a widow that's lacking and that needs? Would you be willing to go over and mow a yard for somebody? Something nobody will ever know. Are you available in little things? Here is a man of God that's just a deacon. He was a nothing before that, spiritually speaking, in position. But he began making a difference because he was available in the little things. Now, I want you to notice this. Very few Christians today are available in little things. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. That's a big thing. And we want to be bragged on and paid attention to. But, you know, and that's our flesh. But you have to be very careful. If God's really going to use you to make a difference, you got to be willing to do the little things. And you got to be available. I appreciate so much the youth workers. Where are you? Would you raise your hand? All the youth workers that went on a college trip. Went on the camp trip. Raise your hand. You're over here on this side, right back here in the back. I appreciated Brock and Ashley, of course, being youth pastor's wife, Brother Brandon. You know, Brother Brandon's doesn't really have much to do with the youth. But this year, it was just important for him to go. It's been before. He and his wife went. And all these youth workers, you know, they took a week of vacation. And they went down to camp. And they sweated like everybody else. And they went running around trying to make sure the kids are all in the right spot. And they wanted to make sure the kids had a good time. And they broke down. Joseph, did you break down last year? David, did you break down the year before that? Okay. So, Brandon, did we break down the year before that? Okay. So we're running a track record now, you know. So I think Brandon's got a great theory. They go down, get their heart right, and pray, and then everything breaks down. That's exactly right. That makes sense to me now. I didn't pick it up before, but it makes sense to me now. So all of a sudden now, you know, we get people that, that's a little thing. You know, next year, how many of you remember who went 4 years ago? Nobody. Taking a week of vacation, going on a missions trip. And you're going to go down and build a building. And that building, the little building that we built down in the Amazon this past January. I mean, nobody on earth is going to know much about that building except those 12 or 13 of us that went down there and sweated and labored to try to build that building. And when we left, you know, that missionary was so excited and so thrilled, but that there was still work to do. But you and I, when we went down there, who's going to go if we don't? And it's a great thing to have a church family that makes themselves available. But I want to remind you of this. Nobody in this room is going to make a difference unless you're available. Unless you present yourself and say, Lord, I'll do anything. Now, here is a man of God that's full of God's Spirit, and he's available to serve meals to widows. Is that your attitude? I'll do anything, Pastor. Jeremy had a man that he led to Christ, probably 2 years ago. And the man was a high school teacher. He had he's got a college degree. He's somebody special in Uganda. And so he's a very sharp looking man, about 6'3", got a beautiful wife, two sweet children. And he got saved and the Holy Spirit just got a hold of his heart. And he said, I want to do something for the Lord now. And so he gave up his job and said, and came to Pastor Jeremy and said, Pastor Jeremy, what can I do? And Pastor Jeremy said, look, I don't have anything except slashing. You can't do that. He said, I'll be happy to do that. And you know what slashing is? It's a machete. And you take and you go slash the weeds near the property. He said, I'll do that. How much does it pay? And Jeremy said, well, I can't pay you, but this. He said, I'll make it work. And the people of the church came up and said, oh, don't make him do that, Pastor Jeremy. That's beneath him. And he said, it's not beneath me. It'd be my privilege. And so he slashed for about 4 or 5 months until a high school opportunity opened up for him to teach in an orphanage. And now he's a full-time teacher. He's doing well. You know, God doesn't just want anybody. He wants people, number one, that are available. Number two, that are holy. And this young man, he looked at Jeremy, and I'll never forget the words I've told you before. He looked at him after he got saved, and he said, Pastor Jeremy, he says, now the things that I used to do before, I can't do anymore because there's a policeman in my heart. And he said, when I want to say this or want to do that, it's like the policeman says, no, I wouldn't do that. And he says, and I read God's word and I see why. And he said, my whole life is cleaning up. And so you have to be available, but you have to be holy. Notice, if you would, look in verse number four, he said, verse number five, he says, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now remember this, and I want to take just a minute here. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number six. Romans chapter number six. And I want you to see how you get full of the Holy Spirit. I want to take just a real brief time here, but notice Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, this is Romans 6, 11. This is how God's Spirit becomes full in you. Now, follow along with me. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart. And He's always there. You take Him to do something that's wicked, He goes there, unfortunately. You do good things, He's there rejoicing. But He's always going to touch your heart and say, I wouldn't do that. No, that wouldn't be right. This wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be good. This would not be good. The Holy Spirit is our guide. But I want you to understand this. In order for Him to take control and be full of the Holy Spirit, there's one great thing that has to change. Notice, if you would, in Romans chapter 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Okay? You have to make up your mind, I'm going to die to sin. When sin comes to tempt me, I'm just going to die. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. How much does a dead man, is he affected by the smell of something beautiful? None. I think when I'm dead, I'll be able to smell my wife's perfume. I do. Because I've been buying it for 40 years, so I should own part of that company. And so now I can smell her any place in this building. I smell that smell. And I love it. It's a sweet smell to me. And so at the house, I regularly go and buy that bottle. If I would have been smart when I was a young man, I would have not done that. Not a bottle of this nice perfume. But boy, I just loved it on her. And so I'd buy that smell. You know, when I die, has no effect on me. Now, when there's the smell of sin, we're supposed to die. So whenever your computer pops up with something that's wicked, die. When you're tempted to lose your temper, die. Say, I'm not going there. Now, number one, if you're going to be full of God's Spirit, you're going to be filled with God's Spirit, you're going to be holy. Because if you're God, do you take a dirty vessel and pour your Spirit into it? No. Now, He's there, but He doesn't control it and take charge of it. and fill it up and make you powerful and help you make a difference until we do something else. Number one, we die to sin. But notice in number two, in verse 12, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And notice verse number 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God. So you don't yield, you die to sin. You don't yield to sin. And folks, everybody in this room is tempted by sin. We're tempted to drive too fast. We're tempted to air our feelings. We're tempted to murmur when things don't go our way. We're tempted to do the wrong thing. And so you and I in this room, if you're going to make a difference, you got to die. You got to say, I'm not yielding to that. I'm not going to yield to the fleshly desire to tell that lady off or tell that man off. I'm not going to yield to my fleshly desire to lay in bed another half hour and tell my boss I was late for work because traffic. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to yield to what my flesh wants to do. I'm not going to do that. If every Christian did that, there'd be no more affairs among Christians. I'm just not going to yield. I'm going to say no. I'm not going to yield because I want God's Spirit to take control of my life because I want my life to be used to make a difference. The first thing is to say no to sin, and the other thing is to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, I want you to come in and guide my life. Yes, Lord, I want you to know me and to guide my thoughts and my life. In Psalm 139, David said, search me, O God, and know me. Try my heart. Have you done that for the Lord's sake? Have you yielded yourself to the Lord? Are you holy? Two-step process. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13, but middle of the verse, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In verse 14, I love this verse, for sin shall not have dominion over you. One of the saddest things to me is when somebody comes to me with an addiction, whether it's chemical, whether it's an addiction to depression, whether it's an addiction to alcohol or drugs. You know what all has happened? Is there was a point in time in their life when a brief period of time they just didn't say no. And it got them around the neck. And no Christian is gotten by the neck around sin. The Lord says there will be no dominion over you. I will see to it. If you yield to me, I will protect you from the dominion of sin. And one of the great privileges as a pastor is I can look at anybody in this room, no matter what goes on, and say, I know the answer to your problem. Amen. Everybody in this room, I can say, I can get someone to help you, but you've got to yield your heart. I've seen guys that were strung out on alcohol get saved and go by in 2 or 3 weeks and talk to the wife and say, you know, how are things going? And then he'd come to church. And I remember leading a guy to Christ in Memphis, was an air conditioning man. And he came and he was going to work on the air conditioner at the church. And I got to talk with him and he got saved. And his wife says, wow, he's a different man now. He's completely changed. He doesn't even drink anymore. The alcohol has no more effect on him. Because he said, Lord, I want to be right. And he had mistreated his wife for all those years. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart and said, that's not right. And he said, I can't change the past, but I can fix the future. And I'm sorry. She said, our marriage is different. And they were in their upper 50s. I want you to know the Lord Jesus has the power to remedy your sin. But number one, you've got to be available. And number two, you've got to be holy. Now, holy means you've said no to sin to the point to where it's a habit. Holiness makes us like the Lord. He always says no to sin. Sin has no power in the Lord. And if we're going to be holy to be like Him, we're going to have to say no to sin so regularly that it has no dominion over us. It has no part in our life. Are you holy? Does your wife see you holy? If you're not holy, you'll make no difference. Oh, yeah, you might make a lot of money. Yeah, you might go up in your company and have a position in your company. But when you die, well, you have made a difference. Well, if you affected the lives of people, they said, I want to be like that. I want to be like dad. I want to be like granddad. I want to be like mom. I want to be like my aunt. I know her. You made a difference, and it affects people's lives. Now, Stephen is just a deacon, and he just got voted in to be a deacon. Number one, he was available to help with meals. Now, that's a pretty lowly job. Are you available for that? Number two, he was holy. He was already holy. He didn't get to the position. He didn't get in the choir and say, well, now I better straighten up. He straightened up for the Lord's sake first. He became holy. And God filled him with His Spirit. Notice the wording and the order. Look in Acts. Look back over in Acts, chapter number 6. And notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Wherefore, look out among you seven men of honest report. In other words, they had to have a good testimony, a good reputation. And by the way, the word testimony there is martyro. We get our English word martyr from it. You get the connection? Somebody that everybody looks at and says, wow, that makes a difference in my life. Somebody have a good report. In other words, he already has a good report. It's just a little bit. Well, who are we going to get to serve meals? Well, Stephen will do a good job of it. Let's get Stephen. He already had a good report, a good testimony. And this word martyr is someone that has a good testimony in death. Well, you've got to have a good testimony in life first. And so as I notice here, I see this good report. He's got a great testimony. But you'll notice, if you would, now keep in mind the order. And look out from among you seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. They wanted somebody full of God's Spirit just to serve meals. You know, I wonder, I don't know who played the piano this morning, but I wonder, are they full of the Holy Spirit this morning? The people in the choir, were they full of the Holy Spirit this morning? The sound guy back there, is Brother Aaron full of the Holy Spirit this morning? You see, if you're going to make a difference, God, you've got to say, Lord, I want to be holy. So that people say, there goes somebody, wow, I respect. But it starts in little things. Would you be willing to vacuum the carpet? Would you be willing to clean the toilets? Or is that beneath you? Would you be willing to help your wife clean up the dishes? Or is that beneath you? Good testimony. Available. Notice, if you would, quickly. Number three, available. You must have an available heart. You must be holy. But I want you to notice number three. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter number 6. And notice, follow along with me, verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Now, folks, the power comes from being full of God's Spirit and empty of sin. How many of you have ever, you fill up at certain gas stations and they say, we have this treatment to gas that does good for your fuel injectors, and it gives you more power in your car. Well, when you get dirty fuel injectors, they don't spray the gas just right in each cylinder, and it just doesn't run right. It doesn't mean it doesn't run. It just doesn't have full power. So all of a sudden, you get it all cleaned up and everything's running perfect. And all of a sudden, wow, this car runs better. We want full power in our cars, but I'm not sure we want full power in our lives. And so if I notice right here in verse 8, he's got full power, full of faith and power. And notice down in verse number 9. Now it says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which are called the synagogue of the libertines. And we'll go down the list here. But then notice in verse 10, verse number 9, last phrase, disputing with Stephen. Now, this word dispute, sunzeteo, is the word for to discuss together. It gives the idea that they were wanting to know the truth, but when they heard the truth, they just sort of rejected it. But I want you to notice, if you would, disputing with Stephen, verse 10, for they were not able to resist the wisdom. You have to be prepared. You have to be available. You have to be holy. And you have to be prepared. He sat down and discussed theological questions with them to the point where they just said, you know, we can't go along with that. But he showed it to them from Scripture and was so prepared that with the power of God's Word and with the wisdom of verses back and forth, they got under conviction. But they wouldn't yield. So he made a difference even with the enemies because he was prepared. You know, most Christians cannot lead someone else to Christ. They're not prepared. It's a fun thing whenever, as a father, you can sit down, or a grandfather with your children, and you can sit down and say, okay, I want to tell you this Bible story. And Papa, can you tell me a different Bible story? Someone I've never heard before. Well, you know, that's a challenge. A missionary's kid never heard a Bible story. Which one is it? So you start racking your brain trying to go through. I thought, what about this one? And then, oh, that's a good one. You know, it's important that you and I are prepared, and you'll never get to where you learn enough. You're always going to find somebody that's got a problem that they need your advice from God's Word in order to make a difference. Now, he gave them the truth here. They just rejected it and said, no, we don't want any part of it. But if you'll notice, if you would, God has a plan. And a part of God using us to make a difference is, are we available? So I'm for your plan, whatever you want. Very few people are willing to do that. Or I'm available to do the plan that we agree on together. It's not that way. You surrender. And God uses you. Now, I guarantee you, Stephen had no idea that as he sat down with these libertines and various ones to share the gospel, the truth of the gospel, who Jesus Christ was the Messiah, I guarantee he had no idea they would reject it and get under conviction and get mad at him. You know why I know he didn't know that? Because he had such a sweet spirit and countenance. Look down at verse number 15 of chapter 6. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. There's no bitterness, anger, animosity. He's God's servant, wanting to make a difference, trying to share the gospel, the sweet news of Jesus, the Messiah, with people that at first wanted to hear it and then didn't. The other day, I was someplace, I forget where, and I passed out a tract, and I gave a guy one, and he looked at me and said, you gave me one last time. I said, oh, I'm sorry. We'll just give it to someone else. Oh, okay. And I got to thinking about it. You know, he kept it. But I met another guy. There's a guy in our church that the guy took it and didn't keep it, threw it on the ground. But it's important because God is using us. We never know the response of somebody, but that's not our job. Our job is to be prepared to always, with the face of an angel, to give people the sweet news of Christ, to let people see the face of an angel on us. Do we have the face of an angel at work? Do we have the face of an angel in the choir? Do we have a face of the angel around here teaching a Sunday school class? You know what happens in this, and I'm in this group. Something gets going on, I get busy, and all of a sudden my face of an angel loses, if I ever had one. My face of an angel sort of loses it. And I'm busy trying to get this taken care of, that taken care of, and the face of an angel is gone. And it looks like the face of Dave Pittman. It's not God's face. And yet, in the middle of people looking at him and say, you told us a lie. That's not true. And we don't believe in Jesus. And all of that, he's got the face of an angel. And they said, we can't take this. We don't have to take it. Why don't you react differently? Why don't you yell at us? Why don't you do something? But we're not going to take this. You're too godly. And they said, we know what we'll do with you. We don't want this conviction that we feel. So they took him outside the city and said, we'll take care of him. Let's stone him. That'll get rid of the conviction. He's better than us. And all the time he's got this face of an angel. Stephen did not know he was going to die that day. He was just available. He was holy. And he was prepared to share the gospel. And he was doing it as with the face of an angel. In the midst of an angry crowd. And he shares with them the story. If you read what he said, the chapter 7, I mean, he gave the gospel in a nutshell in about 15 minutes. And I tell you, it was a tremendous message. And he's only a deacon. And a brand new one at that. But he's starting to make this difference. Now, I'm sure Stephen had a family and was going to make a difference over 70 years. 70. But because he's a servant, God says, I'm going to bring you home early, Stephen. But I need you to make a difference now. Be blessed of God. Now, the only way you can be blessed of God is if you and I are available in the little things. Holy right now. And prepared to do whatever the Lord wants. Are you prepared? Do you know God's Word? Do you read God's Word? Do you study it? I mean, do you learn from it for yourself? Are you learning now? Are you listening now? Are you learning and saying, look, I need to work on that. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit better. I need to not yield to sin. That sin over there, the Holy Spirit touches your heart. I need to not yield to that sin. And you forget about it. Anybody else is in the room. It's just between you and God. Lord, this is between you and me. When you forget everybody else is in the room, you know why people don't come forward and get saved sometimes? Fear of what people might think. You'll never make a difference until you get rid of that. I sat back there with Richard Conner, sat in church. And I got under conviction. And I said, what are people going to think? And I would not come forward because I thought what people might think. And I almost died and went to hell because I almost stayed there too long. But I remember when I stepped out and started coming to the front, a joy filled my heart, a peace filled my heart, like, Lord, I'm going to please you no matter what. None of us like to be singled out. But you know what? God wants you to be singled out by saying, I'm all yours. There's not many servants like that. Would you be willing to die this week? For the Lord's sake. See, Martyro, this testimony of a martyr, he's got a great testimony. He leaves something behind that makes an eternal difference. So you know the story. They go out there and they start picking up stones. And I'm sure Stephen is thinking, you know, this is not looking good here. I don't know what's going to happen, but I've seen this before. And, this could be my last day. And so he begins to get concerned. And if you'll notice chapter 7, in verse number 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. So you know what he does? He looks up to the Lord like he can see the Lord, but he cannot. He looks up to heaven steadfastly. And he starts to focus in the skies. And he said, you know, he starts to speak. And he's going to speak to the Lord. And he's going to say something. You know what he's going to say? Notice if you would. He's going to say verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He's going to look up and he's going to say, as he stares into heaven, he's going to say, Lord, forgive these people. Don't lay it to their charge. And all of a sudden they pick up these stones and they start hurling them at him. But in the meantime, one of the blessings of God that no one else has ever gotten that we know of. Now, Stephen looks up steadfastly into heaven and he sees the heavens open up. Nobody here has seen that. It's one of the blessings of doing what's right in certain circumstances. It's being willing to die because you love the Lord Jesus so much. You're prepared, filled with God's Spirit. The heavens opened up and he sees Jesus Christ. And he sees Jesus Christ standing. Now let me ask you a question. Why do people stand when somebody important comes into the room? Out of respect. Can you imagine the King of Kings, the Son of God. Stephen's about ready to come home. I respect what he's doing. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so he kneels down and says, Father, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And they killed him. Now, I'm sure Stephen would have rather had 40 more years of making a difference. But God said, there's one guy I've got to reach, and his heart's so cold I can't reach him. I don't know how to reach him, but I'm going to try one thing. I'm going to give up one of my greatest treasures. Stephen, I'm going to bring you home early. It's not going to be fun for a few minutes. But are you available? I'm available, Lord. Fill with God's Spirit. And prepared. I'll do anything you want me to do. They take their coats off. And they lay them down. And there's this guy standing over in the shadows. He's watching what goes on. Because he can't figure out this group called Christians. You remember who it was? What was his name? Saul. Did he make a difference? Who started it? Some first-time deacon that said, I'll serve meals and be happy about it. I asked myself, could I be in Stephen's place? I don't know. Could I kneel down and say, Lord, forgive them as the rocks are pelting me? What would be your first natural reaction? Let me see here. Matt, what would be your first reaction? No smile, tell me. Oh, did you hear that? That's one of our preacher boys. Let me find it. But Billy, what would be one of your thoughts? Don't know. Not sure. Let me see here. Dylan, what would be one of your thoughts? Start throwing rocks at you. Throw them back. You know, I'm the spiritual giant, and the first thought in my mind is, that wasn't fair. I think I can throw it harder than he did. And Stephen gave it all up and said, Lord, forgive him. Forgive him. Today, are you God's servant making a difference? I'm going to close with this. Can you cut off, Aaron, can you cut off live streaming? Thank you. I'll never forget. I have a couple of heroes in my life. One of them is my son. I remember being in his house, and he looked at me and said, Dad, I said, you know, Manny and I have already made the commitment that one day, where we are, it might cost us one of our children. And we're going to be prepared to say, Lord, we're your servants. I said, well, wait a minute. Can we not talk about that? That's my grandchildren. Now, nobody says, take my kids. But this servant that's available, holy and prepared, says, Lord, I'm yours. So my elevation of Jeremy in my mind rose up and I said, Lord, can I be like that? Lord, I want to be willing to give anything. Are you? That's the way you make an eternal difference, when you're willing to give all for the cause of Christ. Is that you today? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to come today, play a verse of Imitation Hymn. I'm going to ask the young people, if you made a decision at camp today, this week. If you made a decision, I went to camp and made decisions. Yeah, I made a lot of decisions at camp that really changed my life. And if you made a decision at camp this week, I want you to come forward at the altar and just seal that and say, Lord, I want you to help me stick with that decision. Lord, I want you to help me to honor that decision. Lord, would you strengthen me? I want you to come forward here and pray at this altar if you would. You can slip back to your seat. But I want you to come forward and pray this morning and say, Lord, I want to thank you for all the trouble that the workers and the counselors and everybody went through to get me to camp. And I want you to help me make that decision real and permanent. If you made a decision at camp, I want you to get out of your seat, come under the altar, and just talk with the Lord about it this morning. Review it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not holy like I ought to be. There's some sin that I keep yielding to. Why don't you come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to say no. Maybe you're here today and it's a struggle for you to do the little things. Things that nobody sees, you'd rather not do. You don't mind doing the big things, but you don't want to do the little things. You don't volunteer to do anything or much. Why don't you come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to make a difference. I know it starts in little things, and I'll trust you to use me whenever you want. Maybe you're not holy this morning. You haven't surrendered your heart to say, Lord, I want to be like you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand and sing. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven this morning. I'm a good person, but I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you slip out of your seat, come to me this morning, and get that settled for all eternity? Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. Dear Holy Spirit, would you take free reign in this service? Lord, forgive us as sinners of any limiting factor that we might have to limit the Holy Spirit. And dear Holy Spirit, would you take charge of this service? Lord, would you help people to come and, Lord, surrender and say, Lord, I want to make a difference. I want to be your servant. Help us to be like Stephen. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's